The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of The Teardown. My name is Jeff Gluck, and I'm with somebody who I'm jealous of once again, my colleague, my dear friend, Jordan Bianchi. You are at Bristol Motor Speedway. The two biggest banger races of, like, I don't know, the last few years maybe or something, at least this year, you have now been at. I've been sitting at home to watch these, Atlanta and now Bristol. What in the world? Who would have thought this would happen today at Bristol? And man, there you are, Jordan. How's it going there? What's the deal?
Wow. What a race. Incredible. Like, it wasn't perfect, and we can get into that, and there were some things that you could probably correct, but man, that race had just about everything. It delivered, and I think we had a lot of trepidation going into today about what it was going to look like and how, what, you know, whether people could pass, whether it was just going to be single file, whether the track was, how the track was going to adapt and how the tires were going to handle, and the tires obviously were a big story to this, but man, what a race. What an absolute great race.
This was so bizarre because obviously what happened with the tires was not intended whatsoever, right?
No, like complete, like even NASCAR said this, like Goodyear said this. Yeah, we're not really sure how this happened. Like, we're just going to blame science and like something, like nobody knows. It just happened, like literally.
Yeah, I mean, this was the same tire that was used in last fall's race that rubbered up the track just fine. And they came back and you could say, well, they put resin on the track this time. And last time they used PJ1, but on the other hand, I mean, the whole track, it's not like just the resin wasn't taking the rubber at, nothing was taking the rubber, no parts of the track. So was that, I mean, how can you really blame that as the sole reason? I mean, you would have to think temperature would have something to do with it, but I mean, whatever happened, it was like the racing gods heard talk radio, heard all the podcasts all week. Horsepower, a tire that doesn't wear, package is bad, blah blah blah. And they're like, "Hey, you guys want an old school short track
we'll give
race? Here you go." And yeah, everybody's like, "What?"
The funny thing is, it's like, and Denny Hamlin said this, who by the way won the race. It almost feels like it didn't even matter who won the race. Then he said this. He's like, you could take this package. You could take this today, this what you ran today in terms of tire and everything else, and go to one of these short tracks at Martinsville, Richmond, wherever, and you could have a phenomenal race. And all of the conversation all week about downforce, dirty air, short track package this, short track package that, how are you going to fix it? What are we going to do? Like, I don't know. Did NASCAR stumble into a solution?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think, how can you replicate this?
That's,
I mean,
the thing.
Yeah. You can't go there. Like, let's say they're like, you know what? This was great today. Let's bring this back for the playoff elimination race this fall, whatever, right? And would you know for sure that, no, I don't think you would. And I'm not sure you would get the same result because we just saw this same exact thing last fall, same package, same tire. And it was a different race. This is not what happened. So I don't know. I'm not sure we'll ever see this again, really. I mean, we've never seen this in NASCAR history, first of all, to this degree in terms of all the lead changes at a short track. 54 lead changes, the most in any short track in NASCAR history. Smashed the Bristol track record, which was 40. This is the 124th Bristol race. Five cars on the lead lap. First time since 2004, Dover. Like, all these things happen as a product of the tires having severe wear. I mean, I'm sure you could call them, I mean, it's not like they were wearing in like putting rubber down. They were just wearing and like turning to dust, basically, or marbles. Again, like, can you replicate this? You got a lot of smart people, but I don't know. But either way, the side effect, the unintended consequence was great. I mean, it was just like, what? This is what everybody wants all the time. Tire management, comers and goers. Like, this was it. This is what we wanted North Wilkesboro to be last year.
this was what drivers have been screaming about since the next-gen car was introduced. They have felt diminished. They have felt marginalized. They have felt like their skill sets really aren't a difference maker anymore. It's about track position and blocking and those kind of things. And today, though, what was it about? It was about who could manage their tires the best, who could take care of their equipment and know when to push, when not to push. Denny Hamlin said today there was times that Ty Gibbs caught him and he was racing for the lead. And he's like, you know what? This is not the time. I'm going to let him go and I'm going to save my stuff and let Ty burn up his stuff. And then I'm going to get him at the end of the run. That's old school NASCAR racing. That is classic short track racing. And the funny thing is you talk to everybody after the race, whether it was a Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Chris Gabehart, Matt McCall, all of these guys have one thing in common. They're all old school short track guys who come from that realm, and they all loved it. And they said, this is what short track racing is about. It's about taking care of your stuff, knowing when to push, when not to push, managing your tires. And that's what this was today. And the result was arguably the best, one of, if not the best race of the next gen era. And a race where drivers walked away feeling like they made a difference and they were the deciding factor in who won and who lost and who finished where. And crew chiefs felt involved and felt like they'd made a difference because they're deciding when to pit, when not to pit. Strategy was all over the board. This was everything. You had every sort of element that everybody has been saying has been missing from NASCAR, right or wrong, for the last 3 years, all came back today.
I mean, it's just amazing how when you get the tires like this, and again, we'll talk about it in a minute. This obviously wasn't what they intended to happen, right? But if you do have a tire management race, this just shows you what everybody's been wanting, because the horsepower thing, for example, is completely irrelevant. They were like 50, 60% throttle. They're not using all the horsepower they have, right? Number one. Number two, track position, aero, all that stuff. Completely irrelevant. If you wanted to drive to the front like Ty Gibbs, go ahead. You could easily do that, right? Because everybody else is saving their stuff. But it was a battle of, just like, you were at those, Cars Tour races or whatever that Dale Jr. was in last year at North Wilkesboro, and how he had to save his stuff.
Yes, he did.
He kind of started coming up toward the end. He got up to, I don't know, fourth or something like that.
Third.
And that is what, to me, real short track racing is. That's what local, when you go to a local short track and you watch late models or whatever, they're nursing their tires. They don't have unlimited tires and they're wide open the entire time, just going for it. Can you be savvy enough to go fast and pick the right times? And that's what we saw today. Now, again, the other side of this is, nobody was prepared for this. Nobody knew this was going to happen. The teams had no idea.
There was some, I will say, a little bit. They knew tire wear was going to be an issue. And some crew chiefs and some people I talked to did anticipate that this, maybe not to this extreme, but it was going to be an issue.
That's fair. I don't know. I didn't see or hear anybody saying, well, I knew this was, we weren't going to be able to only go like 40 laps at a time or something. Which is what the race, that's why the race was what it was. But I do think it was, number one, it was the same for everybody, right? So it's, that's okay with me. Number two, if you were able to come back and say, all right, this is what we think this race is going to be. And you could sort of prepare, give everybody from the start, they know what it's going to be. That's a lot better, right? Because then it's like heads up from the start and you're like, all right, look, hey, this whole race, we only know we have X amount of sets. We've got to try to make them last 50 laps, each stint, whatever it is. By the end, they had gotten enough caution laps and enough, that it was only, can we make them last 43 to 45 laps? And they were doing it. But obviously at the beginning, nobody knew how hard they could run and they were, seeing the problem. I mean, look, people were so in the dark at this at the beginning that Tyler Reddick stayed out on old tires. To look back on that now, you're like, what? No, I mean, but nobody had the info at the time that it was going to be that to that degree. So that's why I'm saying that. But yeah, I mean, it's just, again, you could say it was artificially made this way, right? Like they had to slow down so much and nobody understood what was going on at the start. But mm-hmm. what ultimately the principle of what happened was what everybody is looking for. And it just gives fodder to why this argument about the tires is so important. When people talk about Goodyear, oh, please make the tires softer. Please encourage them to make the tires softer and softer and softer. This is what they want. Ultimately, this is what they're saying, right?
This is what they're saying. And you could make two things you said there, and I think they're important, is one, if you come back and you're able to replicate this everything, crew chiefs would be able to know this going in and adjust their cars. So you probably wouldn't have as extreme tire wear where the tires, you hit lap, I think, let's just say 50. And it was like, at that point, it felt like you were on a clock of something is going to happen here. Somebody's going to blow a tire because that's just the middle. So crew chiefs know that. That probably bumps up 15, 20 laps, maybe even more. And I think that's fine. And I think that's the only, I don't even say it's a criticism. If you want to, the only critique you could make today about that is 50 laps here is not that long of a run. And, you know, you would, if you could have bumped that up to an 80, because that Denny Hamlin was saying afterwards, that, you know, old Bristol was like, you make an 80 lap run, it was like, I almost need a pit, you know? And if you could figure out a way to kind of bump that up a little bit, you got it. This is perfect. But again, I don't know what they did. I don't know if it was the switch from the PJ1 to the resin, which who knows, but science, man, that's what everybody says, like science.
You know, obviously on X during the race, there was a lot of Brickyard 2008 comparisons. You know, I was at that race. This was a much different thing to me. You know, this, okay, look, you can say this went close to the line or sort of right up to the edge of this is bad because the tires are not lasting, but they did make it to the end of the race. They didn't have to have mandatory cautions. Mm-hmm. There was no mandatory red flag. Mm-hmm. Yes, they gave them an extra set of tires, but ultimately everybody was like, okay, we've just got to keep backing it down. At one point people said, let's put on scuffs. You know, They made it work. Was it what everybody thought it was going to be? Was it the typical Bristol racing? No, it wasn't. But I don't think it was too much Brickyard 2008. I really don't, where the tire debacle. I mean, again, this was a surprise. This was not that what they wanted, but I don't think it was, this was a good race where that was like a debacle, right?
100% that was a debacle. Now, I would say at the beginning, as this was unfolding and we didn't know what direction this was going to go, and it became very obvious that these tires were, you know, wearing to an excessive degree, I think it was fair to be like, whoa, okay, are we entering that territory of what we saw? But to your point, you didn't have to throw caution flags every 10, 15 laps. You didn't have red flags. The number of tires that NASCAR gave today was only one fewer than the fall race. And teams during the race actually got a setback. So they actually had the same number of tires as they did for the fall race. And the winning team had a set of tires in their pits. So it wasn't like they were out of tires. This is what you want to see. We talk about this all the time where it feels like a lot of these racetracks where it's like you just have so many tires, like you just pit. Like, right? No big deal. Now you go to a Darlington like that. It's like, you got to manage your tires a little bit. You can't just go through your tires and boom, boom, boom. There's consequences for not being able to manage your tires. There was consequences today for that. If you couldn't figure it out, you were going to slide backwards. And we got that. This is everything you'd want to see just about in a race in terms of tire management and tire wear. You could increase that a little bit and it'd be perfect, but overall, it's really hard to pick this apart.
So would you take this, if somebody told you this is what the next Bristol race would be, would you take this?
I'll take it a step further. Not only would I take this for Bristol, I would take this package with this tire and I would try it at North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race. Why not?
I mean, I don't know if you're, I'm not a tire expert, but on a repave, are you going to get the same?
I don't know. I asked Denny Hamlin after the press conference over, we were chatting, because Denny asked me, goes, what are you going to vote for the number?
What was your answer?
I can go first. I can go first because, I don't want to let you wait because I don't want to give you a shot. This is an interesting conversation. So let me start over. So he asked me about the number and I gave him what I thought. He actually was concerned that fans were not going to be receptive to this. He was like, oh man, he thought they were going to pick it apart. And I was like, no, it's actually the opposite. The reception has been overwhelmingly positive. At first, there was some skepticism about, oh, is this turning into another Brickyard? But then it was like, once everybody kind of saw this unfold and realized what this was, it like flipped. And then this became, whoa, this is great. And I would say the reaction has been overwhelmingly positive. So I asked Danny, I said, could you take this and, you know, go to Martinsville and Richmond, you know, North Wilkesboro, short tracks? Absolutely. Yes. Like, all right. Like, okay. Why not? I mean, honestly, here's a question for you. Why would this be any worse than what we've seen at Martinsville? Like, if it's a bomb.
But again, like, are you saying this in a fantasy world, or are you saying this exact thing actually replicating? Because how, like we talked about earlier, how do you know that this would work? You don't even know this work at Bristol, the same track next time, let alone.
Yeah, I don't know,
track.
But here's the thing. Why not schedule a test? And I know you're up against the clock because you've got Martinsville and Richmond just around the corner. So maybe you can't do that quick. But why not get up to North Wilkesboro in the next few weeks and try this out and see if you can have a better race there than you had a year ago? Because as great as North Wilkesboro was a year ago, the race itself was not good.
Oh,
it was
totally,
terrible.
Yeah,
right. It was terrible. So why not try to salvage it and make that better? I feel why not, especially with a new surface.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's part of the problem, right? Like, you can say today they identified the secret sauce to short track
racing.
But
what's the secret sauce?
That's exactly right. We made a secret sauce. Everybody at the restaurant loved it, but nobody knows what's in it. I just whipped something in the back of the kitchen. I got no idea what I put in it. I don't remember. And all the customers want to order it again. But I'm like, oh, sorry. I just threw some ingredients in there. Yeah, it was just the thing. Yeah. So
this is like Schitt's Creek, where they go to the winery and they got to make like a special wine, and they throw a bunch of things together, and then they have no idea what they did because they're so drunk. This is it.
There you go. I mean, that is the example right there. I just don't. How do you replicate this?
I don't know, but try.
Sure, I'm down with trying. Given that this was a complete accident, I mean, it's like I just don't know. I don't know what you do, but the other thing about this is that's so interesting is, like, you know, I was sitting there watching this race today, and you know, you look at Phoenix, you look at Vegas, and you know, we're talking about, oh, what did we learn from this? Who was good? Mm-hmm. You know, all this stuff, right? I still, you know, you could say, oh, the Gibbs cars, you know, they really nailed it today, whatever. But I still don't really know who was good, because it was such a weird race of, like, you didn't know what other people are trying to do, right? Like, Blaney was fastest in practice, but once he, you know, he at one point was trying to nurse it, trying to catch a caution, you know, went, I think, like four laps down or something. He ends up finishing 16th, but you don't know if he could have gone all out this race, like a normal Bristol race, maybe he does win. Maybe he is the fastest. So you can't really make any conclusions from this, like going forward, like, oh, well, now we saw this. So at the next short track, or even at the next time they come to Bristol, yeah, those guys are going to be good or whatever. Like, you know, beware that the next time when you're looking fantasy players, bettors, whatever, when you're looking at, well, this guy in the spring, he, you know, Alex Bowman, he finished fourth. Well, he had a great run, so I'm going to pick him in the fall. You don't know. How do you know? If it's not a tire management race or whatever, how can you say, oh, John Hunter Nemechek, he's sixth. He had a great run. I'm going to pick him again. I'm going to put him in my lineup. Okay. How do you know? I mean, so, but I like that as well, because that, you know, that means you're going to get a different outcome multiple times because you put it in the driver's hands, and it's more about the circumstance of the race and what they did and what their decisions were than, okay, this guy had the fastest car, so that's how he got there. I mean, Denny talking about how this was the first race in a long time where it was that much in the driver's hands. Again, that's what, especially in the next gen era when all the cars are the same, isn't this what you want? Like, this is perfect.
It was perfect, but I don't know if you can do it again. That's the problem.
I know.
I mean, I get your point, and I think I mean, honestly, I feel like you could argue both sides. You know, part of it is like, yeah, this did feel random, is not the right word, and I don't want to use that word, but it felt like it was just, there was all of these different circumstances involved today. So how do you determine who is fast and who is that? But I feel like you can confidently say the Toyotas are fast. Like they've shown that 3 weeks in a row now. I feel like Blaney had a good car today. He had a top 10 car before he had that tire. He was running in the top 10 and he had the tire issue and he was trying to nurse it to the end until a pit stop and it didn't work and he fell down. I feel like the Stewart Haas racing cars again had speed. Like, you know, Josh Berry was good today. Josh Berry, despite having issues at various times, was still running in the top 10 and I think finished 12th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So like, I feel like there's encouraging signs. And conversely, Joey Logano again today struggled. Now his strategy, coming out of stage two, going into stage three, they put him on scuffs and he, on the radio, he was like, oh, like he literally was just like, oh, but they also didn't have a choice. They knew they had to use the scuffs. They wanted to get rid of the scuffs then and then be able to flip to their newer tires at the end. And so you kind of ride it out, but even then it wasn't like they were world beaters by any means. And it feels like something is amiss with that team. So, you know, that is a little concerning. And again, RFK, great day for them again, second week in a row. So I feel like you can kind of pick things apart a little bit and with the caveat of you got to be careful here.
Yeah. I mean, certainly at one point when you have the JGR cars running 1, 2, 3, 4, that's probably something, right? Especially after Toyota just dominated on another short-ish track last week. And as you said, Josh Berry running really well, you know, taking the lead at the start of the race when nobody knew that the tires were going to be, that they had to save their tires to this degree. He drives right past pole sitter Ryan Blaney and is out front. So certainly you can look at something there. By the way, interesting, I saw you tweet today that Stewart Haas cars again have speed and that you can really take something from that. I swear somebody on the podcast.
No. Stop. I'm running on the chip right now already.
Ooh.
That was after two super speedways in Las Vegas. Okay. We've now had a intermediate, we've had one intermediate racetrack. We've had a short track package race at Phoenix and we've had a Bristol. Like those are three distinct tracks that are going to bode well for the rest of the year that you can carry over. Like, I think that's enough of a sample size to say, hey, you know what? These guys are a little bit better than we thought. Instead of saying it after two super speedway races and a Las Vegas.
I was just saying after Vegas. I wasn't even including the super speedway. Exactly. I was saying after one race.
You want to jump to conclusions, that's fine. I prefer to have my sample size a little bit bigger, okay?
So now after three, you're saying that's the biggest sample size for you. I said after one, I said, hey, you know, the Stewart Haas racing cars, they actually look better than we thought. I think we could make a conclusion here.
Well,
that
here's the thing.
They might have
that,
something.
Like,
and you said no.
It's not been a team-wide thing. It's Gregson. It's been like one or two each week. It's not been like all four, you know, or three or the four running, you know, remarkably well. It's not like a Gibbs situation. So that's a little, you know, like what, looking at this going, wait a second, why are these guys across the board not running well? But they are, I mean, the fact that Gregson's done what he's done is impressive. And then Barry today comes out the weekend, goes qualify second, which I don't think anybody predicted, and then has a, you know, really good race despite his issues and leaves here. I think that's an encouraging sign. But like, where was Chase Briscoe today? Where was Ryan Preece?
I mean, Ryan Preece finished, I think he was top 10 for some part of the stages, I think. Didn't he get stage points?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
I don't have it in front of me. So
anyway, yeah, I mean, actually all three of the SHR cars finished 14th or better today. They finished 12th, 13th, 14th.
So there you go.
Gregson had his problems and was 34th, but and he'd been obviously leading the way. I would take more out of Vegas than this race, again, because you don't know what people were doing in this race, where Vegas you're going all out. But
I take more out of Phoenix too, to be honest with you. I mean, I take Vegas and Phoenix than this. But I mean, I just think that when you're starting to string these together, that
I agree
with
you. I'm just giving you a hard time because
of course you are.
You were so adamant that we couldn't take anything early, and then you've come around to my conclusion. So I appreciate that. No, that's good. This is a big run today for Alex Bowman. By the way, you know, we didn't talk about this yet, but the drivers obviously, it's been well documented by now, that finished 1, 2, 3 are the three oldest drivers in the series, three guys over age 40, and with the most experience. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess Kyle Busch came in before Keselowski, but still, guys who knew how to manage their tires and were around when, you know, they really had to. That was a bigger deal than it is now, or than it has been really the last decade even. So, you know, Hamlin wins, Truex second, Keselowski third. And then Bowman in his post-race interview on TV says, yeah, you know, that was always something I was good at in, you know, the K&N East days and stuff. We didn't have a bunch of tires and that was always one of my strengths. So I feel like that really helped me conserving tires. And he finishes fourth. That was big for him. He needed a good run. He leads the way for Hendrick, you know?
He needed it. He's kind of been under the radar a little bit. Just, you know, we talk a lot about Chase Elliott. We talked a lot about Logano and how, you know, these guys need to get back on track. And you could definitely throw Bowman in that mix. And he leaves here with a top five finish. You got to be feeling good because talked to him before the race. And he's like, man, we kind of got to right the ship a little bit. This is a good way to do that.
Keselowski, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about how worried we are, concerned. Well, maybe not worried, but how much work he had to do.
Yeah.
To get back. And he jumps 9 spots in the standings today. He's now 13th in the standings.
Wow.
So he has erased that entire problem.
Concern over.
Yeah.
Logano still like to see him win a race.
Sure. Logano did jump 4 spots and he is 26th in the standings now. So he's getting closer, but still a lot of work to do, obviously. He ended up finishing 22nd today. But
man,
Kyle Larson and Truex are now the points leaders, tied for the points lead.
That's good. Larson again, I was really impressed with him today and how he managed this race. And this felt like this race. I thought he was going to end up being more of a factor at the end because it felt like this was going to kind of fit what he does so well. And then they had the issue in pit road, then the penalty there, and it kind of set him back a little bit. But good run for him. Another guy, too, just stringing these results together here.
4 races into the season, and 5 races into the season, sorry. And the top 5 drivers in points are within 12 points of each other.
So who are they?
They are Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., Ty Gibbs is 3rd in the standings.
Wow.
Then Ryan Blaney, former points leader, drops 3 spots today. And Denny Hamlin moves up 3 spots. Chase Elliott also moved up 3 spots today. He is now 6th in the standings, but he's 33 back. But
yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely starting to see more of the bigger names that we thought come toward the front here. So, I will say, I mean, Kyle Busch, you know, another
what a day.
Where, yeah, just not the Kyle Busch of old Bristol that we know of, but he fell 5 spots in the standings to 16th today. So
tough day for him. It's right. And how about Ty Gibbs though? I mean, just, wins, gets his first stage win, then wins the second stage. So he's got 2 stage wins and just had some issues, but just came through, got a decent result, got a lot of points. And for a sophomore driver to be 3rd in the standings, and that speaks well for where he's at. And I think the season he's capable of having.
Yeah. And I picked him to win today. He ends up leading 137 laps, but I mean, I'm not exactly, he ends up finishing 9th, but I don't know exactly what happened, but you would just think that, you know, the other guys didn't, you know, I think even if he thinks he was managing his tires as good as he could, the veterans just know that much more. They just have that much more experience. It's not a knock on his talent or anything. They just know what they're doing that much more. Yeah.
Yeah. It comes down to, and he said this post race is basically like they went 2 laps over. Like if they would have pitted 2 laps before, they would have been okay. They went 2 laps too long, and then that just cost them, and they had to slow down so much, and nothing he can do.
Did you think he had the fastest car, or do you think Denny had the fastest car?
I thought at times Ty did. I thought on the beginning of runs, Ty had the fastest car, but that was also that Ty seemed to be more willing to kind of push it more, and Denny was much more comfortable and adapt of sitting back. And again, letting Ty go out there and lead laps. I thought all four Gibbs cars at different points. I thought Truex at the end, I thought was going to win the race. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, it looked like he was going to get a run. He got a run a couple times on Denny, and I thought he was able to do it. And Denny did a really good job of getting through traffic. And it was like Truex would get there, and then Denny would scoot away in traffic. And I thought he did a really good job managing. I just thought all four Gibbs cars were really, really fast today.
Well, I know you're going to be writing about this race on The Athletic. And right now, just let you guys know, I forgot to mention it last week, the actual deal. So that was my bad. But The Athletic right now is running the $1 per month deal. I think it's through the end of March. I think it's like maybe through March 30th. So if you're looking for that deal, I know it comes along Black Friday. And then I think maybe last year they did it at the start of football season or something too. But this is a really, really good time to hop on the for new subscribers. $1 a month for the first year, so $12 for the entire year of not just our coverage on The Athletic, but all the sports they have to offer. Obviously, March Madness coming up, baseball's about to start. So you can hop on that right now. You can go to theathletic.com/NASCAR, click on any of our articles, pick who you like better, me or Jordan. I'm just kidding. And
they'll pick you. Everybody loves you more.
No, I wouldn't say the mentions, wouldn't always say that. But yeah, you should be prompted to see the deal when you, hit one of our links, and, it should pop right up there, $1 a month. And, I know you had some good stuff last week. Matt Tift, returned to, I thought that was interesting. Matt Tift returning to the car after his seizures and brain tumor issue. Lots happened in his life.
What a lot of ups and downs. Good to see him back, though. Really good to see him back.
Yeah. What else did you write last week?
Dave Elpern, TikTok social media star.
That was very surprising to me. I did not. I guess once you tweet that out, and I tweeted as well, people were like, "Oh no, I've watched all his TikToks and stuff." And people, he has a big following.
A huge following. Have you watched the videos? No. I cannot recommend it enough. Like, even for someone who I feel like I know a lot, they're all educational. They're 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and breaking things down in a very simplistic way about things you don't even think about. Like, for example, is why does Joe Gibbs Racing, for the first 10 years of its existence, Joe Gibbs Racing did not have a sign outside its building. Because the business park they're in, it was so expensive to do it, and they were kind of on a budget, and they're like, is this going to make us go faster? Is this going to help us win races? The answer is no. Screw it. We don't need a sign. We're just going to invest that money, keep going back in the team, and eventually they did. But it's things like that, and I really, if you're interested in like marketing sports business in general, go watch these. It's highly educational.
All right, friends, quick time out to talk about a pretty cool offer here. What has four wheels looks awesome and can be yours with one click of a button. North Wilkesboro Speedway is giving out an exclusive 1/24 scale Dale Earnhardt Jr. No. 3 Z-Max diecast when you get a 5-day ticket package to the NASCAR All-Star Race. You're getting 2 days of Cars Tour Racing May 14th and 15th, plus 3 days of NASCAR All-Star and Truck Series action May 17th to 19th, plus 2 concerts, and now they're sweetening the pot with one of the coolest diecasts on the market. But you've got to act fast, because this offer is only valid through April 1st. No fooling. Don't miss your chance to own this sleek, red and black No. 3 Z-Max Dale Jr. Fantasy car that you can only get with a 5-day ticket package to the NASCAR All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro. Visit northwilkesboro.com/Dale Jr. today and get ready for some all-star fun. That's northwilkesborospeedway.com/Dale Jr.
I guess. How was the crowd on TV today?
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that.
I honestly did not get a chance. There's so much going on today. I just did not get a really good chance to take a look at it.
Yeah, I didn't think it looked good. Now, if you're going to compare it to the dirt race, did they get more or less fans? That's tough, because the dirt race was at night on Easter, and I didn't really have a sense. When they'd show the overhead shots during the daytime, like today, I know it wasn't raining in the forecast, but it was maybe around 50 there or something. It's chilly.
It wasn't bad. The sun came out. It was cool in the morning. Sun came out. It got nice. It was actually a really good day to be at the race. I mean, it wasn't perfect.
I didn't think it was like a terrible crowd, but it looked maybe half full or something. So,
half full though would be 60, 70.
I don't know.
I'm terrible at these things. I just was curious, because it was such a topic of conversation coming in.
Yeah. I mean, so. I don't know. I didn't think it was like, wow, they moved it back to concrete and now so many more people came. I would wonder if maybe more people came for the dirt race. I don't know, but it's
I will
to
say.
But what happens though when how do you sell this though? I mean, this, you know, is a good race. I don't think anybody's going to miss the dirt race after what they saw today. Well, I shouldn't say anybody, but plenty of people.
The vast majority of people are going to be liking it. I think you sell it as this is Bristol. If you want to see short track racing of some variety, sometimes it's going to be a slam bam physical race. Other times you're going to have a race like it is today. But if you want to see short track racing at one of NASCAR's iconic tracks, you come to Bristol Motor Speedway, the last Coliseum. I mean, to me, that's.
But what if
that's
people,
how you sell it?
What if people don't? I mean, okay. This race once. I mean, not just this race, but Bristol in general once sold out 55 straight times. It was so packed they would have these sign stunts or whatever the whole place, and you know, it was the hottest ticket. People would leave the tickets in their, you know, passed down to generations and their will and all this stuff. And now it's like, I mean, you still have a good crowd, decent for the night race, right? I mean, more than this, but it's still not like, I mean, if you can't draw enough people, is this race in danger of losing a day?
No.
Like, I'm worried about that.
Here's a couple things. Okay. To answer your second point about losing a race, I mean, you said half full. So I don't know what that number is, but like half full, 60,000. I don't know. You know, that is a number that is larger than Martinsville. Larger than a lot of tracks. That's a pretty good number. Now,
would have sold out Phoenix, right?
Yeah, sold out Phoenix. What, Homestead? The problem is it looks tiny here. You know, so it, you know, 60,000 looks minuscule because it's a giant place and they've got so many seats. But 60,000 for this day and age of NASCAR is a really damn good number. And when people talk about that streak, and I get it, but that was a different time. Different, you know, there's so much has changed since then, whether it's sports, whether it's options you have, entertainment options you have, whether it's NASCAR's popularity itself. There's so much that is just different. And yes, you want to get back to that level. That should be the goal of getting, the NASCAR should want to get back to that level. Every sport should want to get, you know, maintain that height. But I just don't know if it's feasible though. You know, like, I think you kind of have to step back and say, we have to continue to put on great product and give our fans great XYZ. And I feel like they're doing that. They gave them a great race today. There's entertainment options galore here. I feel like and obviously people responding to that. So I think if you continue to do that, you're going in the right direction. But to think you're ever going to have a streak like that, I mean, like, if that's your standard, every race, including the Daytona 500, to some degree, is going to fall short of that because that was an era. That was a completely different era.
Yeah, I just, you know, they got very lucky with the date. I mean, with the weather. Sorry for the date.
Oh yeah, great weekend.
You know, and you it's sort of you're in a position where you're asking people to roll the dice, right? And and they've been burned by rainouts and bad weather and miserable weather for this March race. They had it in Easter, you know, which was a little bit later in the season, and then, you know, got, you know, moved back when the Easter date now goes across the state line to Richmond. So I don't know what you do with it. I mean, I guess you got to keep taking your chances and hope you get a nice day like today. But the weather that you got today is probably about as good as you're going to get for the mountains in March, right? So
And this is where I get really frustrated. And I know the schedule is really complex and it's really easy to play schedule God and go, I would do X, Y, Z. I would really like to see Bristol get a fair shake and get out of this part of the year. Move it to later spring, earlier summer, and give people an option of saying, hey, I'm going to go to Bristol and I feel like I have a good shot of actually not having delays and cold weather and all of that stuff. And it doesn't help that where are we going in 2 weeks? We're going to Richmond. And then where are we going after that? We're going to Martinsville. So three races in 4 weeks in this small area. Like I just feel like that gobbles everything up. And it just, you know, spread it out a little bit more. Now, if you get rid of one of Richmond's dates, that might, that may happen. That might help a little bit, but it's just, that doesn't help. And I would really like to see Bristol get a fair shake and move it to or first race in June. Like, you know, like where, you know, like it's good weather, it's camping weather, you want to be outside and you don't feel like, you know, you don't have to pick and choose between night in September or night in June, because you know both are likely going to deliver.
I'm just glad we had a Bristol race in the spring where we didn't have to see any of Bob's weather gifts on his X account. You know, usually he's got, okay, here's the weather, here's the green, you know, you're just like, whoa.
Be honest though, did you miss the dirt just a little bit? Just a little bit.
Like, no.
Just a little bit.
What, in what way would I have missed it? I mean,
I don't know, just, you know.
I was very, I'll be honest. I all day, all weekend, all morning, I was like, you know what? This race is probably just going to be right? Because like last year's two Bristol races, or last year's Bristol race in the fall didn't do very, I mean, it got like 60% or something.
Yeah.
In the, was it a good race pole? And I was just like, you know, it's probably going to be not that great of a race. They're not even using the short track package. And everybody's going to dunk on me and be like, oh, you wanted to get rid of dirt, but guess what? You know, this dirt was better than this, wasn't it? You know, people like you are the reason this is gone. I had people, some dude tweeted me. He's like, if this is a disaster, or if this isn't a good race, it's your fault. Now, I wish I had that much, you know, power. Aside from doing two diss raps on Bristol, I don't think I did anything to move the needle aside from crying about the dirt race.
Oh, no. You were the number one vocal critic.
It still doesn't matter. I'm not the one. I could be the most vocal critic. It doesn't matter. I'm not the one making decisions. So
you are moving the needle, my friend.
Okay, yeah.
And I was kind of secretly hoping, like, I mean,
wanted to dunk on me too. You wanted to
I hope it was gonna be fun. I just wanted to see the reaction. You were gonna just, well, it makes for better content for the podcast, to be honest with you. And that's really what we're about, is the content.
Well,
what's better
for
the pod?
By the first 100 laps, I was feeling pretty.
When they started having tire, like that little sliver of a window in the beginning of the race, when they started having the tire issues, and you're like, whoa, okay. Like you said, is this going to be another brickyard? Are we going down that road? Are they going to have to start, you know, are they going to run out of tires? Are they going to have to throw cautions every 30 laps? Like, I was like, oh man, this is Jeff's mentions and Jeff's mood are just going to be fire.
It would have been, if it had been a disaster, like if it had been a little bit worse with the tire, I mean, this is a fine line. This could have been pretty bad. That would have, oh boy, yeah. I'm not sure I could have come on the podcast tonight, honestly.
Oh, you would have come on. I would have made you come on. Oh, it would have been great. We would just talk for an hour and a half about just dirt and how great it was and how you, Jeff Gluck, single-handedly ruined Bristol dirt.
Yeah. Well, fortunately,
the dirt
is
on your hands, my friend.
The dirt's on. We don't have to worry about that. Listen, another thing you don't have to worry about if you're in North Carolina is trying to find a way around sports betting thing, because it's now live. You don't have to do anything shady. It's legal. And, so FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is the place to go. And right now, new customers can still get $250 in bonus bets guaranteed when you bet your first $5. Of course, March Madness is coming up, so it's a good time for that. You just go to fanduel.com/teardown to sign up. Then you can bet on everything from individual race winners to prop bets to which driver is going to take home the championship. You can do it all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So start your engines with $250 in bonus bets when you place your first $5 bet. I mean, it's about as good of a deal as you can possibly get. Visit fanduel.com/teardown to get started. FanDuel is an authorized gaming operator of NASCAR. You must be 21 and present in North Carolina to do this. First online real money wager only, $10 deposit required. The bonus is issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at fanduel.com/sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. Jordan, I did not get any of the numbers in that ad read wrong, but I know somebody that got numbers wrong this weekend, and his name was Eric Jones. He had the wrong digits for Chase Briscoe. Have you ever texted somebody
I'm not answering this question. This got me in trouble. I'm not in trouble last week answering. We're not doing the doctor segment, by the way, ever again. We're not even talking about it.
How did you get in trouble, Jordan?
Oh, we're not talking about it. We're moving forward. Have I ever texted somebody?
Wasn't good for you?
No, we're not doing the couch thing again, ever again. That's just, no, not happening. Have I ever texted someone the wrong number? Yeah, I have had that problem before. Yeah.
What happened? Do you want to
share? I mean, I've had it professionally happen and it's not good.
Oh.
I've had it, yeah.
Like, you didn't know, like you thought it was somebody's old number or you texted the wrong person?
I've texted the wrong person and I've texted the wrong number.
Oh, okay. So both, the double whammy. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say texting the wrong person is one of my fears. Like if I was going to text, man, I can't believe Jordan was such an idiot on the podcast this week. And then I actually
you would just tell me that anyway.
Well, that's true. That's true. I was just trying to think of an example that I accidentally texted it to you. Like you type in Jordan instead of, you know, venting to Bob or somebody. Like I would talk behind your back, but no, you're right. I would just talk in front of your back. I wouldn't talk behind your back anyway.
Have you done it before?
I don't think I've ever texted a wrong, like an old number. Well, I mean, I guess if I have, see, being an iPhone user, it comes back as often, it wouldn't say delivered. It would come back as green, which is the no-no. It would indicate I'm texting somebody like you, an Android user, or a non-number that doesn't exist.
Nothing wrong with Android users.
What's that?
Nothing wrong with Android users. Stop.
There is, but that's fine. Anyway, if you text another iPhone user, you may not know this, it says delivered and it lights up as blue. So you think, oh, that probably is their number. So I think that's where probably Eric Jones got, you know, he showed the screenshot where he did text Chase Briscoe's old number, what turned out to be Chase Briscoe's old number. It said delivered. So he certainly assumed that it was delivered to somebody. I just want to know who has Chase Briscoe's old number now, because like somebody got a message saying, hi, this is NASCAR Eric Jones, NASCAR driver Eric Jones, please call me.
Well, we can figure that out. I mean, we've got Briscoe's number. You've got it. We've got his old number. Let's just call it and figure it out.
Okay.
We could be like, hey, who is this?
Who is this? Maybe Briscoe has it. Like, it's just not, it's deactivated. No, that wouldn't, why would you do that? No.
Did numbers change over that quick? Like,
well, I mean, if you say, I don't want this number anymore, I guess somebody has to take it, right?
They get claimed that quickly? It seems weird.
I don't know. But I tell you what, if I was somebody with a notable number, I would not like, because then all people that don't know you had a new number are still texting you and they're like, hey, they think, you know, I don't know. That wouldn't.
How long have you had your phone number for?
Oh, well, mine's a 704 number from when I lived in Charlotte. So I think I got that probably when I moved to Charlotte in maybe 2007, 2008-ish. Okay. Yeah, so probably pretty long time.
Yeah, I think I'm like 2002, 2003.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that we can take our numbers with us. I just that when you do change it, like Chase Briscoe did, it can cause some issues, but it looks like they got it worked out. So that's good.
I'm happy for him.
You know, poor Eric Jones, he tries to bring the receipts and then Chase Briscoe had the other receipts.
I mean, he did try, like, you know.
That was a short-lived feud, but
that's NASCAR in 2024, man.
yeah.
Text messages and social media, and it's whatever bad beef there may have existed is over in minutes.
Yeah. So, you want to talk about the good race poll now? Or are we not at that point yet?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I lost again.
Shocked. Remember you mocked and ridiculed me last week? I gave you my number and you're like,
it would be that
what?
Low. I should have. People have pointed out now that if I priced as righted you, like I said, I was going to cutthroat Jeff.
Huh?
Both of the last 2 weeks, all I had to do was go the direction I was trying to go and I would have won both. Instead, I'm down 4-1.
Yeah. Can we go back to how you mocked and ridiculed me and I was right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I blew it again. My problem was once you asked me what last year's Phoenix races were, I knew I was in trouble because I didn't think you were going to know. And I knew they were lower. I thought you were going to go way higher. And then you went far lower. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm down 4-1. The season's not over. It's long not season. Over at all. It's a long season.
Okay? You still got the playoffs.
We're early in the regular season. I can make a comeback.
Uh-huh.
So, but you still got to go first.
So I need to
what did you tell Denny?
We'll get there, but I need to know what is the highest race ever in the poll, and then what is the highest Bristol, please?
Okay, well, the top three races in the poll ever are all Bristol races.
Okay.
They are 1, 2, 3. Although this year, Atlanta tied the third Bristol race. So the top Bristol race ever is 95.7. That is the 2021 race. And then 2020 Bristol 1 got a 94.9. 2018 night race got a 94.8, as did Atlanta this year, 94.8. Okay.
So I told Denny, he asked me, he thought it was going to be low. And I said, I actually think it's going to be a record number. I think it's going to be a record high. Why are you smiling? You agree, don't you?
I'm not.
You agree. Don't ever play poker because you'll give it. You're not good at bluffing. You agree?
No, I don't.
Why are you smiling?
No reason at all.
Please, tell me why you're smiling.
I'm not. I'm not. Just go ahead. Just give your guess. I'm not.
So the highest in the poll in history is 95.7. Right. I was going to guess 95. I think it's going to be higher. I think it's going to hit 96. I'm trying to figure out if I go 95. I'm trying to read your face. I'm going to go 96. The highest.
Definitely making fun of you this week.
Okay,
There's no chance. There's no prayer that it comes close to the highest. You must have been busy during the race and didn't see. Some people were not loving this at all. Now, the majority.
Those are the 4%.
Oh, there's more than four. There's more than four. It's going to be, I think this may, this may get so much blowback that it may fall out of the 90% club. Now, I don't think it's going to, but I'm thinking much more closer to like a 92.
Okay.
And I was toying with 88. I don't think it's going to be, some people really hated this race. They were really mad.
I didn't see it.
They were really, really mad. They were like, this is a joke. NASCAR should be ashamed. Goodyear should be ashamed.
I didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
This what was I not saw like was a drivers, joyful. Past and present, praising this thing
because and a lot of fans drivers they know but
and I think a lot of fans were on board too.
No, the majority were, but I'm telling you, man, this is gonna be much lower but than Atlanta.
Here's the thing, like that 2021 race in the fall, like that wasn't a great race. Like it was good. It was, let me take that back, let me start over. Like, what was the most memorable thing? It wasn't like this was amazing, oh my god, race. Like, what happened in that race? There was like, oh, it was Harvick and Elliott, but remember, Harvick was upset. Like, people couldn't pass. That was the issue in that race. So we're lauding the number one race in the poll is a race where drivers were upset they couldn't pass. And Harvick, yes, because Elliott held up Harvick, and Harvick couldn't get
a pretty good race in general. Like,
it was okay, but the Harvick couldn't pass Elliott, and he had the faster car at that time, and that was a lot of the conversation.
And I guess that was the big storyline and the thing people remember from it, but I think the whole race was pretty good, or people thought it was pretty good up till then. So
I don't know.
I mean, I remember, you know, Elliott blocking for his teammate and all that stuff, of course, but and of course you being involved.
Just doing my job.
You should release the tape. You should also say where you got the suit.
No. There's no
Why
need.
Why not?
Because it's not a big deal. You're overblowing it. Like most things you do, you're overblowing it again.
Whatever. Well, I will say a 92. I really should Price is Right you and just easily win, but I feel okay about
it. It's nice that you have ethics for once when it comes to this game.
I have the last 3 weeks and it's cost me. So, any other?
Not much. Feels like the season's kind of starting to take hold here. I mean, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Bristol. We got our first road course coming up. That's going to be interesting. And then Richmond, Martinsville, and then Texas. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I just feel like this, six, seven race stretch is really going to kind of define on who the pretenders and contenders are. We're going to leave, you know, time you roll into May, I think we're going to have a really, really good idea of where everybody stands and where the new cars stand.
Yeah, I hear you.
Where are you going? Why do I hear music? Where'd you go? Jeff left, took off his headphones and left. And there's music playing in the background. Was he so upset? Oh my God, he's got his jacket. You got the pink suit on. Oh my God. Oh my, you're going to do it again, aren't you? You've got your jacket. You've got your pink suit on. You got a pink collar. There you go. You, oh my God, you look like a dad. You look like a dad. You taking the kids to school tomorrow in the old minivan?
You were buried alive, now you're back from the dead. Got that dirt off your shoulder, like Mr. Hova said. So fresh and so nice, like new sheets on a bed. Just call me Mr. Clean with a shiny bald head. My diss tracks are lethal, two turns and it's done. Won't see a dirt race round here no more, son. It's Bristol, baby, and damn, that's fun. Got 99 problems, but the dirt ain't one. You'll be seeing stars when I rap about cars. My flow out of this world, you can catch me on Mars. Told y'all I was done, guess I lied to your ass. Needed 10 pit stops, 4 tires and gas. Now I'm back like Jimmy, I ain't lost a step. But the short tracks have took a hit to their rep. Intermediate's king, got the NASCAR crown. The whole series flipped like the upside down. Then came Sunday, excessive tire wear. Aero packet track position, nah, don't care. Manage your runs, put it back in their hands. Make sure your tires don't snap like old rubber bands. Okay, it would have been nice if the track turned black, but I'm not gonna complain about this throwback. Some still wish for dirt. Yeah, I brought the receipts. Gonna expose you bad like an Eric Jones tweet. Oops, wrong number. Must have missed dial. Bristol dirt fans quiet after Sunday so wild. I'm sticky like resin. Twitter trolls can't shake me. 54 lead changes should be like, damn, that's crazy. But some new school fans ain't judging like that. They're gonna vote no, don't get real short track. 5 cars on the lead lap. This race was no fun. All right, bet. Then just go watch F1. Last great Coliseum, we have to stand. But here's the problem, dog. Where are all the fans? Thought the people were with me and they wanted dirt gone. Then they showed up dressed like aluminum. 55 straight races sold out for real. Tickets so rare they got left in the will. Can't make y'all go, but if you ain't down, gonna see this race at the National Fairgrounds. Look, I know this date sucks. St. Patty's Day with no rain. It's just pure luck of the Irish. No green on Bob's weather app. Pinch me, am I dreaming? No, wake up, Jordan, that's no cap. Race should be later when the weather is warmer. Except the Easter Bunny's exile across the state border. Now Bristol fans faced with a terrible fate. Take your chances with the rain out or lose your date. 11 car, can you do something for me? Drive up the ramp, celebrate, do some sword play. Locked in the playoffs, like that was in doubt. Didn't have Danny in, what you talking about? Cup season on track for a heck of a year. Atlanta epic, Bristol said, hold my beer. Aside from the rain, what is there not to like? Phoenix gonna Phoenix, but that's just life. You tired of this rap yet? Don't give me the hook. I swear I'm almost done, but damn, bro, let me cook. This dude's so lame. I know what comment's gonna say, but I can see your face right now. You're caught in 4K. I'm spitting bars like I broke out of prison. No orange jumpsuit, Pink Panther on a mission. Lose the good race pole? Nah, y'all trippin'. Got my number straight. Now gonna put on a whippin'. Jordan acting so tough like he's an icon. But I've got a secret. I know where the suit from. Is it Target, Neiman Marcus, Men's Warehouse? Y'all wrong. Only custom $60 on Amazon. What did I stutter? Do you believe what I just said? Amazon sent a package with some hot pink threads. Jordan's in shambles, but that's the truth all along. Just call it my version of a Bianchi bomb.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.